Hello, I'm Timothy Dunn, and welcome to CB Wrap. This is a show where I sit down and have discussions with the actors and directors who are performing at CB Wrap, members of the artistic staff, and from the CB Wrap Conservatory. I hope you enjoy this discussion with Lisa Vroman. Pleasure to have you here, Lisa Vroman.
Thank you,
guest.
Tim. It's great to be back here.
And thank you for your beautiful performance in our cabaret series.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
It was the cap of the season.
So it was interesting. I just had done this show for the first time in New York at the Green Room 42 in the month before, or a couple months before. And I had kind of never done a show like that. And here I am in the desert going, gosh, I wonder how it's going to go. And then I realize through Adam that most of the audience were so many people I knew. It was filled with people who have retired out here from the theater community. The theater community is so alive and flourishing here. So it felt so comfortable not only to be in the space, but to be surrounded by that affection.
Yeah.
People I'd toured with in, you know, the late 80s. And it was from all walks of life. My musical director from Phantom of the Opera, my original.
Oh my gosh.
One was here. And my friend Richard Jay, who was our resident director for Les Miserables on tour, was just all of these parts of your life, and it felt very comforting.
Yeah, this it's all kind of comes back together into one place.
Doesn't it?
But theater is, you really do that in the theater, I think. You have extended families.
And it never ends, either. I mean, you have, I just worked with did a concert with the Hemet Concert Association 2 nights ago, and then Monday morning, they bust in like 350 arts students from fourth grade through high school. And I did an hour at 9:30 in the morning for these kids. And it was just, they asked us, what was it like on Broadway? That's kind of a usual question. And I had to say, you know, I loved it. But my first company was in San Francisco. 5 years with those people, they become your family.
Yes.
Then I took a break at my home and then went to the New York production on Broadway, which was, yes, it was great to be on Broadway, and then had another whole family.
Yes.
So do you see how every time you do a show, you add another group, and it's for the rest of your life, and you keep them forever.
And you run into them, as you did here, all around the country.
And even my accompanist for that is our musical director, Chip
Prince.
Yes,
yeah.
And Chip and I,
it was great.
Not only do we have the same birthday, same day, same year, we met on the Les Mis tour. In the original company was our director, Craig Wells. So we have, and yesterday.
His homecoming.
A little homecoming, but the fun fact of this is yesterday was the 35th anniversary of our first rehearsal for that tour.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, get your calculators out, people.
So you're playing the part of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
So several things to have to do with the Fantastics, and I think it's important for us to add that it's a love story reimagined,
mm-hmm.
so people understand the separation.
The characters are different. These are instead of two fathers, and a boy and a girl, it's two mothers and two sons. And I don't have children, so this is my dream come true role.
Yes.
Always wanted to have a son, and it's different. The treatment's changed. It's basically the same show, but I don't want to give too much away about what we're doing because I want people to come into it as if they're seeing it for the first time,
mm-hmm.
and how this plays, how the love story plays the same,
right.
And what the mothers bring. And Sade and I are both working on what differences that is,
and your relationship to each other.
Oh yeah,
because there is. Obviously, history that they have.
Right.
That isn't on stage.
And it's not on stage. But, for instance, our frame of reference are the fathers. But the fathers smoke cigars and play poker.
Yeah.
And mothers, they probably have sippy cups of wine over the fence. I mean, who knows? They shop together. They do this, they do that. And we wanted to bring what was glorious about our femininity
mm-hmm.
to this. A big deal is what we're all kind of talking about now is physicality. One's relationship of a son to a mother is physically different to that with their father sometimes. And I think that's going to be a layer that we're exploring and one that I want. I want to have that, what glorifies being a mom, what makes that unique and special, and have that support the show.
And this really is a very special show because you can do that to it. I should mention that for those who aren't familiar with your history, you have performed on Broadway, musical theater, opera, a concert, a cabaret. And
whoever pays, we just want to go to.
Right, yes. First, maybe keeping it to the show, to the Fantastics. What is the experience of performing with two instruments?
Oh, well, I've done the Fantastics three times in my youth. I played Louisa, the girl, manifestation of that character is Louis, my son. So I told him the first day, I said, I'll be his mother, and I guess I'm the ghost of Louisa Past.
Yes.
I don't know. Even vocally, we're trying to find the places to use me well with what I bring to it. And I like the intimacy. You know, there's nothing like a big orchestra. I mean, I've been on stages all over the world with fantastic orchestras, and bringing as much intimacy, especially if it's crossover theater literature and programming. But this is about the words and about the music and, you know, about that love story, and the harp and the piano are just a perfect, perfect complement to that.
You know, that is intriguing when you think of singing even a cappella or just, you know, with the piano as you do in the cabaret show. You are almost, in a very good way, forced to pay more attention to the singer, the message, and the words, I think.
I mean, we hopefully develop that craft.
Yes.
Really bring ourselves, our sound, to each word. And to give it as much clarity for the audience as possible.
We have a lot of young artists, young students who are listening, and they come to the theater here, and we have a very good theater classes in schools out here.
Awesome.
So getting to that is, if you were to say to some of these students, okay, this is how you need to prepare if you want to be Elisa Roman, these things.
Don't
that's
do it.
Not a bad.
Don't
that's
do it.
Not a bad ambition.
It's no life. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's like a great dancer. It's about your foundation of your technique. I say that over and over. I teach it on the voice faculty at AMDA in Los Angeles, American Musical Dramatic Academy, on their LA campus. It's a 4-year BFA. I'm one-on-one and have my roster of students there. And each of them, I know they come in from musical theater, and so much of the musical theater literature these days is very pop-driven and commercial-sounding, but it takes physically what I think is extreme athleticism to just manage this kind of singing. But, you know, extreme athletes don't start off being extreme athletes. They're the athlete first. The more they know, the better musician they are. Learn to read music, your musicianship skills. Listen, study your history of who started musical theater before you. Why are you here? Why are you inspired by it? People have done this for the past, you know, 30, 50 years, you know, 100 years learn that history, how the roles have changed, the sound that's desired has changed. But there's a big, I think in a lot of musical theater schools right now, I see graduating classes after classes of kids that sound the same. They almost use a homogenous belt technique, but they come out to work, and they have to work. They have to belt this certain note or this, you know, this kind of, and it's, I wish that they would focus more on that individual's authentic sound and beauty and voice. It's your voice. That is it. I mean, I had an agent, as I said in my show, when I first got out of graduate school for opera, and I didn't think I would be an opera student, opera as a career, but I'm glad I did my master's in that, went through that recital, got that 2 years of technique that my voice would grow into and mature. That stays with you for the long run and sustains you far more. I mean, at 22, you graduate from college, but your voice is still not completely mature. Yeah. It takes a long time. So if you are really studying what is your authentic voice and you're being very aware of that, it'll last longer. I mean, if that's the goal. I mean, I've seen students that go, I just want to be a star. I said, well, then what?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Then what happens?
And I'm so grateful you're saying that, because I know every singer, good singer that I've ever met or spoken to through the years, they'll say, technique. Mm-hmm. You've got to have that. And they make the same sort of comment.
Singing is complicated.
Yeah.
I have students that look at me the first day, and when they realize that, their face is just like, oh my God, I didn't realize it was so
easy.
Hard.
Yes.
But yeah. once things start to work, it's joy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that confidence that you get, that your voice works with you.
Yeah. You know the voice. You know,
yeah.
It's sort of that you hear that thing, my voice is not my voice, it's the voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so you treat it that way.
No, it's part of you. It's who you are. You know, and you can't really change that. And you have to let it be what it's going to be, you know. And I've never been one specific type at all. And I remember getting out of graduate school, and I'd done the Fantastics 3 times. But when I got to New York, my agents kept sending me in for the Fantastics, for the audition. I must have auditioned over the years 11 times for the show. Just never got in. Don't know why. It was always just something was weird. Or wrong or different. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, I'm the same person.
Yes. Yeah.
I just don't know why that never worked. But had I gotten it, I keep thinking it would have changed the course of my path,
mm-hmm.
which is different for everybody. So things happen. I don't say they happen for a reason, but you are on a path. It's like no one else's. So no one can tell you this is how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make it happen for yourself.
And that's so much of life,
mm-hmm.
because you don't really know sometimes. It's going to be a
surprise.
You
don't know, you know, and things are going to happen. And you have to
So in your manage. Career, what was a turning point or moments, the various ones you said, wow, that came out of the blue and this is wonderful?
I think I had like this is it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that turning, I think it's going through graduate school, having a master's degree in voice performance and having very good French and German diction. So I got a job waiting on tables, and they said, wow, you read this wine list. It's like, I said, yes, I went to graduate school for opera just to be a great waiter.
Right.
You know, and it's, but those, it's skill building.
Yeah.
And then it's craft building. And then you have to hang on to what kind of professional do you want to be? You watch everybody else. I decided long ago, this is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm comfortable with. And there is a certain, when great moments do come along, like singing and dancing with Dick Van Dyke at the Hollywood Bowl. I mean, you could have killed me when it was over. I would have been happy. or meeting Stephen Sondheim,
yes.
working with him. Those are thrilling moments, but you have worked so hard to be able to deserve that position. And it's still hard work, and it's still stressful, and it's still all of those things. But I'm grateful for that, the chances, but I put in those years.
Yes, yeah. And that's
now,
the work.
When Phantom was over, it bought me my house. I am grateful. I met my husband just when it was over, and I got married, you know, 5 years later, and the Phantom was already done.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like I'm so happy things have settled in that way, mm-hmm. for me, but I'm still working a lot. Who knew? But it all feels like I'm going into everything with that grateful joy of, well, look what I get to do still.
Yes, yeah.
Because I worked, and my voice is still working for me,
mm-hmm.
so I'm able to. Somebody in an interview recently, they said, oh, you'll just sing forever like Marilyn May. And I went, oh, please, no. I don't want to sing that long.
You never know.
You know, you just don't.
If you love singing, love performing.
Or if it's just what you want to say. I mean, the solo show was transformative. It was very, I love telling stories. I didn't really realize mm-hmm. how much.
And
I had people who knew me forever and said, I didn't know anything, all of that about you. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Gift.
Yeah.
It is.
So let me ask you a question as we kind of wind down here. This is your soapbox moment. If you could say something to young singers or people, something that is meaningful to you, a question that you've never been asked, and I would really like to tell the world this or audiences.
Well, you know, I've kind of intertwined it in the last bit about your self-worth through your work. You feel good about that. If you get the role and you don't get the role, at least you felt good about the work you did to deserve to be in the room,
yes.
to be seen. You can't control who gets chosen to do what. You get to be angry for 10 minutes if you knew you were so close to something,
yeah.
and then move on. Do the next thing. I think, you know, having college kids, you know, in my life now, which has just been incredibly joyous for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love them. And they think I'm cool, which is, you know, it feels just great.
Yes.
You know, but
but you are.
I tell them the truth, I feel. And they also grew up with their phones and social media in their face since they were born. I did not have that. So there is another layer of anxiety and emotion on that immature age that it does cause issues, and it's causing an extra layer of angst that it's sometimes really hard to manage, especially for these kids, these sensitive kids that are amazing artists. They feel they need to be perfect.
Oh, yes.
And it's like letting go of that. Or when you have a teacher one-on-one, which I do with them, let yourself be honest in that, even if it's that 1 hour, when you can have be with someone you really trust, tell you the truth, be ugly, fail, go ahead, learn from, make a mistake. It's okay. And that's where I think a lot of them feel they can't right now.
It reminds me of something that someone I knew worked with years ago, and he was a director, and he said one of the biggest problems he faces is the lack of rehearsal time, the lack of, I have to be there, I have to be a star.
Time is money.
Yes. You know? And he said that we're in a fast food world. Everything has to be fast, has to be immediate gratification. And he said, particularly feels, but this is for everything, the arts, take time, learning a role, you know, finding your voice.
It's different time for different people, but the you know, I say that and we have 12 days
to do this. Well, I wasn't going to bring that up yet.
We're a little stressed. But yeah, I mean, that sense of that, because it's, unless it comes right away, you must not be good enough.
Yeah.
Or you must not be worthy.
Yeah.
And that is not, that's not right at all.
No.
You know, there are people who have had careers later in life because something just clicked. Then, I mean, I finished my ingenue years and then bought a house in California. I didn't want to be in New York trying to stay in a box that I didn't fit in anymore. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this concert world doesn't care. It's timeless. Mm-hmm. But there are a few roles came along that let me know that there is life after that for me. So it's been, you know, I felt like there's still gas in the tank to work a little more.
So gas in the tank, are you looking at either roles or songs you haven't sung that you think, I got to give that a try?
I sang a lot of songs. I would still, I'd love to sing The Mother in Light in the Piazza.
Oh, yes.
We will
put that up.
Yeah, I mean, I love that part. I used to think also I'd like to do another mom in Fun Home, because I was the daughter of an undertaker.
Oh,
so I think that would be just the greatest.
Wait, that is bringing it home.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. Although he wasn't gay, and I didn't have a gay sibling. At least I don't think so. So you know.
I hope you're enjoying this CV Wrap. If you'd like to learn more about CV Wrap and the shows in the upcoming 23-24 season, please visit our website at www.cvrap.org. And if you'd like, be sure to wrap back to us on Facebook. And now back to our show. So it's time for our rapid fire section. We start out with the easy one. What is your birthday? You say
July.
In July.
The 6th of July. I'm a Cancer.
Yeah,
yes, you know?
There you are.
That's so hippie.
Yeah, really. Well, okay. So the characters that you've portrayed, who is most like you?
I'd like to say I'm a cross between Maria Callas and Mrs. Anna in The King and I.
Getting to know you, getting to know all about you.
I'm a teacher.
Good. Yeah.
And I just loved every bit of The King and I. Felt like me for that part of it, and physically it felt like me. I love period clothing from having to do it so much, but I loved Callis's just love of music, and her playing her was pretty much a dream role.
That's phenomenal work too,
but it brought out another depth of emotion and drama in me that you don't often get to do in an ingenue. So when doing that, all of a sudden I realized I had that in me, and you don't know it unless you're given the opportunity.
Right.
You know, to do it.
Three people that you would love through history, whenever, now, past, you would like to have sit and have lunch with.
Have lunch with? Tony Bennett. Hal Prince. Oh, let's see. Beverly Sills.
Yes. Yeah.
Beverly Sills. She was my idol, you know, for a long time.
Yeah.
And Julie Andrews. Okay.
Yes.
Could I? She should have been first.
My favorite things and
If you have been reincarnated in a previous life, who might you have been or would like to have been?
Oh, gosh.
So sorry.
I don't know. Nothing comes to mind. I don't have a really feel of, was I here before?
Yeah.
I don't. I've never really kind of thought that.
So in the moment, that's very good.
Oh, some veterinarian, you know, some famous veterinarian. I don't know.
That's okay.
My love of animals. I mean, I'm addicted to my dog. And
yeah. What kind of dog?
He's a big 75-pound mutt.
Oh.
He's a perfect cattle dog and probably a shepherd or a husky. I don't know. He's perfect.
What recipe can of yours can we share on our Facebook and let people know about?
Well, we love our slow cooker, and my husband really kind of is the cook, but we have been rubbing dry rub, like Moroccan spices on a chicken with stuffed with lemons and whole Brussels sprouts and big chunks of carrot. If you just dry rub the chicken over the dry vegetables, pop it on top, 6 hours later, it's delicious.
This is so timely because I have to figure out something to make in a slow cooker for this weekend.
It's so easy.
Thank you.
15-minute prep time.
Excellent. And your favorite dessert?
You know, we love the yogurt places where you put Oreo cookies and stuff. Yeah, that's kind of...
So they cover the yogurt.
Yeah, but my husband would say, oh, we like pie. I know, but I don't have a really big sweet tooth.
Oh, okay.
So he does. So I go along sometimes.
We've been speaking to Lisa Froman, who was here at Coachella Valley Repertory in the Fantastics, A Love Story Reimagined. Thank you. This has been so
Thank
much
you,
fun.
Tim.
I really appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah.
I know it's just
no, it's
after
great
your
to be here. It's rehearsal. Great to, I do a lot of concert work. So to do actually do a play for a while, it's just a joy.
CV Rap is brought to you by the Coachella Valley Repertory, home of professional, high-quality, intimate theater. This podcast was produced by CV Rep with audio recording, editing, and production by Joshua Adams and is intended as a public service for entertainment and educational purposes only. It is not a legal interpretation nor statement of CV Rep and its programming. This podcast is the property of CV Rep, and no other use without the written permission of CV Rep may be made.